Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I've done a lesson at Terre Haute. I've been preaching at Harmony and Knightsville, and I think there's been a few other places since I've preached here, but it's good to actually get back and preach where you locally go, and so it's good to be up here. This morning, I want to talk to you about the topic written up on the board, hope. Have you ever heard someone say, just hope for the best, or hope to see you soon? Now, I was thinking about hope and how much it plays into our lives as Christians, how much it affects us as Christians. Last Sunday, when we were having worship service, I tried to make a mental note every time we used the word hope. And this is just the times that we said the word hope, not when we read it or sang it, just when we said it. I came up with three that I could remember. The closing prayer, we said, we hope what we have done is pleasing unto you, Lord. Again, in the closing prayer, we said, we hope that you will give us a safe trip back the next time we gather. And then during the Lord's Supper, we thank you for the hope you've given us to be with you in the end. So I started to think about hope and what this role of hope is for us being Christians. The definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So those three times when we use the word hope, when we said, we hope what we have done is pleasing unto you, meant that we had a desire that what we did was pleasing unto the Lord. When we said, we hope you will give us a safe trip back, we had a desire that we would have a safe trip back here. When we said, we thank you for the hope you've given us, we thank you for the desire that we have to be with you in the end. So now we know what hope means. We know when we've said it in service. What else does this book have to say about hope? I've divided into three categories, just a few categories really that you could make about hope. The first is, what can we hope for when it comes to the church? What can we desire when considering the church? The first thing is we can hope for church growth. Some churches, they grow. You know, they have 400 or 500 people in them. But they grow for the wrong reason. They grow because they have a gym where the kids of those 400 or 500 people can play during worship. They grow because they have donuts and coffee on Sunday and people are looking for a meal. There's a church just down the street, has two gyms, a game room, a coffee shop, and a bookstore, and a church. But also, concerning church growth, we need to hope for Bible-based church growth. This means we need to hope that the church grows because of Bible teaching and the desire to want to be a Christian, not because of food or a game room where we can play, but because we want to be with the Lord in the end. What else can we hope for when it comes to the church? We can hope for individual Christian growth. We can hope for ourselves to grow. We can hope for our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow. See, at some point, we have to grow. There's a quote that if you're not going forward, you're going backward. So as we become more familiarized with the Bible, we need to be advancing, continuing in our faith. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 17. It says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. We need to be advancing. We need to be growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, and starting in verse 2. or 1 Peter, excuse me, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then finally, Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Reads, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So once we learn what one might call the basics of the Bible, we need to keep advancing. We need to learn more. We need to be striving to learn more. A term in basketball is stay hungry. Don't get content. Always keep working to better yourself. And in this case, it's to better ourselves to get to heaven. But another category we can think of is, what does hope do for us? First off, it provides us with motivation to get through difficult times. What's the ultimate end game for a Christian? What's the ultimate goal? It's to get to heaven. So when we're going through tough times, times where we might doubt ourselves, hope is what pushes us forward. The hope of heaven. The hope of being with him in the end. We can read about heaven and all its marvels and wonders and revelation, but no human has actually been there to feel its joy. The judgment hasn't come yet. So we have to hope that it's going to be like that. We have to hope that, you know, we can be there in the end. And so when we're going through those obstacles, when we're going through tough times, those temptations, hope for heaven is what pushes us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Excuse me, Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. My title here at the beginning of this chapter is Faith Triumphs in Trouble. That's a good thing to remember. Faith triumphs in trouble. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into these grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What else can hope do for us? Hope keeps us firm in our beliefs. This kind of correlates with the previous point about getting us through difficult times, but they're kind of on different sides. You see, when we have that hope, it motivates us to get through difficult times. But hope is also what keeps us firm in our beliefs. It's what keeps us grounded when things are going well. Turn with me to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It keeps us firm in our beliefs. It anchors us, anchors our soul. A third category. What are some things that we can hope in? We said at the beginning, hope is a certain desire for something to happen. So to hope in something is to put your faith, or trust, if you will, in that thing as well. What does the Bible have to say about things we hope in? Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 114 reads, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." That is just one of many verses that talks about hoping in God's word. And so, what can we hope in? God's word. God has given us his word, the Bible, so that we know what we are to do, what we are not to do, and what he wants us to do. So, if we don't hope in his word, what's the point of being a Christian? If we're not hoping in, believing in what he has to say, what's the point? Meaning the Lord's commands. You know, this Bible is the Lord's commands. And so if we're not hoping in them, if we're not following them, there's no point of being here. What else do we have to hope in? We get the privilege to hope in his mercy. Let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 18. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." The eyes of the Lord on us, is that a bad thing? It's not at all. The eyes of the Lord, in cross references, are over righteous people. The eyes of the Lord are watching over righteous people. We have to hope in his mercy. If we're going to be a faithful Christian, we have to hope in his mercy. Why? Because we've all sinned. To get into heaven, to enter that narrow gate, his mercy is going to be required. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Without his mercy, we won't be able to enter into heaven. So honestly, we better hope that he shows us mercy, or we'll all face eternal damnation. Another thing that we can hope in our death. Now, it's a grim subject talking about death, but for Christians, it's a little bit different. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. In verse 32. It reads, "The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death." Now, when I made this lesson, I was using a Bible on my phone as a King James Version. And in place of refuge, it says hope. "But the righteous has a hope in his death." Why can we have hope in our death? We're told at one point, some point in time, we're all going to pass away if the Lord doesn't come first. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "And it is appointed for men to die, but after this the judgment." So we're all told we're going to pass away. Now don't get me wrong. Everyone wants to live a long, happy, healthy life. It's human nature. But we are told it's going to come. We're told two things are going to come. One, death, as we just read. And two, the judgment. So why not prepare and make heaven our final destination? Most people fear death, but as Christians, we're to hope in it. To hope that when we do pass away, if the judgment doesn't come first, that heaven will be our home. Now, we're told throughout the Bible on separate occasions that life here is but a vapor. You know, 80 years is considered a well life. As we talked about in Job's time this morning, he lived a good 200 years. But 200 years or 80 years or however long, you know, in that short amount of time, it's going to be nothing compared to eternity we live in heaven. Hopefully. And the final thing that we can hope in is the Lord. a few scriptures here for this. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Starting in 1:3, chapter 1, verse 3. Let's start in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of our God and Father. Now I'd like to read Psalm 31 and verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24. It says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord." And finally, Psalm 39, 7. This is just three of a lot of verses that the Bible talks about hoping in the Lord. Psalm 39 and verse 7. "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." If we don't have hope in the Lord, our faith, our religion is in vain. One could say that having hope in God is the focal point of our faith. Without having hope in Him, we can't have hope in His Word, written by Him, hope in His mercy, a hope that heaven will be for us one day. So I ask you a question. What will you hope for? Will you hope to make it to heaven? Will you hope to follow God's word? Or will you just disregard the message? We have a message here today. And the message is an invitation to be a part of the Christian family. We can hope and hope and hope. All these different things we talked about today. We can hope for them. We can hope for secular things. Hope you have a good day. Just things like that. But with hope, we have to have action. Or that hope won't come true. And all that starts this very moment as you make a decision. You have one of two options. In the end, God will say, to my left or to my right. And if you need to become a Christian, all things are ready for God, for you, so that God can say, inherit the kingdom of heaven. They're prepared for you to do so. You have heard the word this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe what you've heard and repent of it. Confess that I believe Christ is the Son of God and be baptized. And then stay faithful. Stay faithful until death, when that judgment day will come. If you need to come back, if you need to renew that hope that you need to get to heaven, if you need to make anything known, please come forward as we stand and sing.